Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. This weekend I get to go to I guess like a celebration of life for a fellow comic book collector. He used to work at the shop. His name was Max, and he was a very interesting guy. Like, when I first met him, I was like, "Who is this asshole?" Because he was very outspoken and stuff, and but then as the years went on and I got to know him, I really became really fond of him. And he recently passed away, and this is kind of like way after his funeral. The family decided to get together, and he was an interesting collector. It'll be really interesting to see what happens to his collection, because I think he's close to the From what I understand, he's close to, if not more than the Guinness Book of World Records in comic books. But he was an interesting collector. He was the only collector that I have ever met that had, well, he's a Vietnam vet. He'd been collecting comics like a good portion of his life, and he never would read them. It was very weird. At least I thought it was weird. So he would always buy comics. He would immediately bag and board them and inventory them, and that was that. It was like a hobby to him, but it wasn't as much as he would ever read or know about the characters. And he passed away, and it was real sad that it happened to him, because it's always like, it gets you to thinking about, well, when something if something happens to me, what's going to happen to my collection, or what will I do with it? And I think they're in that portion of it. You don't watch his wife and kids are have this huge collection, and now they have to deal with it. And I guess what I'm going to try to do at some point is, hopefully I'll be healthy, but at a certain point in life, you're going to have to assess things and decide what you're going to do with these large collections, and hopefully offload them, or so you don't leave it to your spouse or whatever to have to deal with having to have the knowledge of what everything's worth and what you can get for it and how to get rid of it. But yeah, I'm going to this celebration of life, which is really cool for him to look at his life and not be sad about it. And it happened quite a bit ago, so it like separates you from having all these emotional, feelings and stuff. But it just got to me to think, you do your life and you do stuff that make you happy, and then you're like, well, how does that gonna burden your loved ones? Because it's not like cash, or it's not like a life insurance policy. It's something that you have to have knowledge about to get its value, and that's kind of a sad thing. But yes, I was thinking about that a little bit, and I'll be going to this this weekend, and a lot of it was kind of cool, because there's going to be a lot of like people from the shop where he used to work, and he would work for his comics, and essentially he would not work for a paycheck. He was retired. He would just work so he would get all his comic books pretty much for free, and at least what he was working for, he'd have to pay for some stuff. But it should be a different experience, because it's not like the funeral, it's not like open casket or anything, and there's going to be a lot of geeks that were at the shop that really knew him well, just there to do a celebration of life. So yeah, I'm doing that this weekend. And then the other thing I wanted to mention is, I was at the comic shop today, and it's the last day of my 50% off before I have to accumulate certain much to get the 50% off again. And man, I there's he had some beautiful copies, and I'm almost thinking, man, I really passed up a great opportunity because of my 50% discount. But I could get like Tales of Suspense number 32, which is the Doctor Strange prototype, and I got to actually take it out of the loader and look at it, and I looked at it and it was really bizarre because it was like, what the fuck? This guy is nothing like Doctor Strange. And then I was really interested in, you know, because that's what Overstreet says. It's first appearance of Doctor Strange prototype. It's Sazik the Sorcerer. So how close is this to the real thing? And it didn't seem close, at least thumbing through it. I'd be dying to read it. But it was the shape of this was immaculate, and for a book this old, I would say it was like very fine shape. It was beautiful. And then the other one I looked at was an Iron Man prototype, but in the price guide it has like two Iron Man prototypes, and this was like called the Man of Iron, and I don't know which one they really consider the Iron Man prototype, or this was called something of the robot, that it looked like a Tony Stark type character and had something to do with robots, you know, just thumbing through it. But it's interesting that somebody's actually said these are prototypes for the actual character, because if you actually look at the content of it, it's very strange. It's really bizarre. But I did pick up some books. I didn't pick up those just because I was like, man, that's a lot of money to justify. But I'll probably regret it at some point because, you know, it was a $400 price tag, but I could have got it for $200. And even my conservative database says, hey, you dummy, look how much that's worth. But then you get to thinking about stuff like I was just talking about. So I don't know. Maybe I regret it, maybe I don't. I don't know. But it would have been a great book to have. He also has Tales of Suspense number one, and that one's probably in VG. Minus, and beautiful cover. It's a very sci-fi cover. Most of the Tales of Suspense prior to Iron Man were sci-fi type covers or monster covers, and they usually had several stories in them. And I've never read any of them, but like I said, I did get to thumb through it, some of them, and they're really good shape. So I don't know if they're still there. At some point, I might consider them. But I picked up, I'm on a Marvel kick now, which is really weird for me. But I bought a lot of Marvel Heroes Con, and especially I've been a Cap kick. I don't know why. It's probably because of that Steve Rogers book. I just got so addicted. And I'm so close to finishing that run and Daredevil. And Cap and Daredevil are some runs that like I have almost every single volume. I'll have every single comic, every single volume, except for that very first one. So I gotta work on some of those titles. And I have a lot of the key ones, like, you know, 100 of Cap and several of the earlier ones that are real expensive. And same for Daredevil, except, yeah, I'm missing number one. And I did look at several number ones at HeroesCon, but man, it would just be a lot of money. I think if I did do it at HeroesCon, I would have to say no commissions this year and no more back issue diving. And I always have that struggle, like, do I complete it or I come home with 50 books instead of one and no commissions. You know, you got to make tough decisions. And sometimes you're so close to completing that it makes you lean a certain way. But I've been going down a lot of Marvel rabbit holes, mostly because of Cap. But I saw these two books. They looked in really good shape. It's Strange Tales number 127. It's featuring the Human Torch and the Thing. It was mostly the Human Torch and Doctor Strange at this time. And this says, the Human Torch and the ever-loving Thing risk their lives to meet the mystery villain. Who is it? And it looks like somebody with a question mark on his mask. And that's weird because I'm thinking about my own comic, The Guesser. So, this has also, it says, don't dare miss Doctor Strange's duel to the death with the dreaded Dormammu. That's a hard name to pronounce, but everybody knows he's one of Doctor Strange's major villains. I also got 128, and this one looks really interesting because it's got the Scarlet Witch and the Dazzling Quicksilver. Two of X-Men's greatest foes go into breathtaking action naturally against the Torch and the Thing. I really dig this cover. Looks pretty good shape. I mean, there's a little bit of a scuff on the corner, but could be above VG, which I always consider what me and Chris Campbell consider good books are very different. And then it's got Doctor Strange is captured by the demon's disciple. So that's two Strange Tales. Don't have much Strange Tales, believe it or not. And then we jump into this one I'm getting a lot of lately, and this is Tales of Suspense. These had some really good cap covers. This is number 86. Let's see what number 86 is. Is it any big of a deal? Let's go over the database. This says it's the first appearance of Colonel Kuroshin, S.H.I.E.L.D. Special Service Agent 60. I don't have any clue who he is. And the first appearance of Yoshanka Arms Works. And then this is an interesting one. It also says Happy Hogan substitutes as Iron Man. That's a little more interesting than the other two. But a really cool cap cover. It looks like some kind of tank, communist tank, it looks like, because they have the star coming over. And Cap is fighting a bunch of soldiers, and it says quite possibly the greatest action issue of the year. Gotta check that out. Tales of Suspense number 86. And then we got Tales of Suspense number 88. Also another really good cover. And this one has a Cap on the cover and Power Man. And it's not the Luke Cage Power Man, it's the Power Man that we've seen with the Avengers. And this is when I believe the Swordsman and Power Man were villains. And it says, featuring Power Man, the Swordsman, and the madly menacing mystery villain. And it has Swordsman throwing the sword at Cap's shield and deflecting it. And last but not least, it's another title that I'm somewhat close to completing, except for the very, very early issues. It's Fantastic Four, number 42, and this has Reed Richards fighting the Thing. In the background, it has, man, what was that name? The Fearsome Five? I can't remember what the name of it is, but they had the Wizard, Medusa, the Melter, and Sandman. And everybody's probably saying, "You dumbass, that's so and so," but, I don't remember their name. I know they were FF team that fought the Fantastic Four back in the day, but and I know all the characters. You know, like I said, the Melter, the Wizard, and Medusa and Sandman, but I don't remember their name. But this is issue 42, and it says, "To save you, why must I kill you?" So it's asking a question. To save you, why must I kill you? The battle you never expected to see. And that's the Collector's Corner, and we'll get ready to talk about the weekly reads. Thank you. Welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. And this time we're going to talk about the books that I read for books for April 25th, 2016 to May 1st, 2016, and I'm like you said, I'm way way behind. So that particular week, I've read 40 comics, 9 Marvel, 29 DC, and 2 Archie. I read Drax number 1 from Marvel Comics. That was a 3 out of 5, which means the rankings again are 5 love it, 4 really like it, 3 like it, 2 did not like it, 1 hated it. So we start with the 3 out of 5s. There were no 1 out of 5s or 2 out of 5s like usual. Drax number 1. It was the Marvel kind of relaunch after Secret Wars, and It was pretty good. I kind of like the Drax prior, like in the I love the Drax in the movie, but this Drax is kind of like the movie version. But in comics, I prefer the pre-movie version, and this one is more like the movie version. He's more serious and more violent, I would say, in the, Abnett and Lanning version of the character. And they kind of turned him into still have that violence and stuff, but play off his ignorance and kind of make him look kind of stupid, and add some comedy to his character. That's what they did with Guardians, which is was perfect on the big screen. I really liked his portrayal. Well, this is kind of taking off of that. It's by CM Punk, who's a wrestler, and I can't remember who's assisting him. Maybe Cullen Bunn, and the art was pretty decent. I read three more issues of Scarlet Witch, 3 through 5. These are the Jimmy Robinson done in one stories. They've been pretty good, but not since the first issue did they sort of like wow me. I really liked the first issue, and these have just been good. But I still do enjoy them. It's a strange thing with Scarlet Witch to have done in ones. I guess she's not a character I think would do very well in that category, but that's what they're trying to do. And then we get into the 4 out of 5s. We have Original Sin, Hulk versus Iron Man, number 1. This one I must have read when we were on some sort of vacation in Albuquerque, because I read it digitally. I had the original, but I had loaded the comic on my iPad, and I remember reading it. And this is where they're retconning that Tony may be somewhat responsible for the origin of the Hulk. In Original Sin, what was a decent. This was when the Watcher died, and they pulled the orb had taken out his eye, and was able to see stuff. And it was the eye was revealing like sins of the characters, and in this case, it was a sin of Tony. In the past, and that's what this was doing. So there was a lot of retconning going on there. Afterlife with Archie number 7. This was a really good story. It had a dog backup with a gypsy. It was kind of a heartbreaking backup. This was a the thing I love about the Archie is they reprint Golden Age stories, and this one reprinted a story from I think it was the 40s, and it was like a horror tale. And it was kind of heartbreaking because I love dogs, and this dog just was a playful dog. It's one of those dogs that likes to jump on people because it gets excited. And this was, for being such an old story, it was very heartbreaking. This guy took his dog to like a circus, and the dog had went into a gypsy tent and accidentally jumped on her, not to be hurtful. But she put a curse on the dog, and one of the first things the dog did is kill the wife of the husband that had the dog by, I can't remember if she pushed her down the stairs because it's been a while since I read it, and then he accidentally killed the husband. So this curse was making this dog kill people. It was an awful curse. It was a really morbid tale. And hard to read if you're a dog lover, but it was a horror story. So, the next one, Afterlife with Archie, Cheryl killed her brother. It was pretty dark. And Veronica almost destroyed, I think it was Betty's diary. It was really interesting, Afterlife with Archie. Shield number 2, another Archie book. Really digging this, but it never can get momentum. They like publish one issue every 6 months, it seems like, and it's never going to succeed, and people are going to lose interest because Marvel and DC are an image, are pumping out so many titles that, for their dollar, if they were interested, they could lose interest because they get interested in something else because it's just not on the shelves. But on this one, the Shield actually gets her memory back, and they find this underground tunnel to get away from the main villain. Then we jump into a 4 out of 5, also as Haunted Mansion. This is based on the ride from the Disney ride. These adaptations, like Thunder Mountain, and they've done a couple of them. Figment. I haven't read Figment yet. Can't remember the other rides they've done. But I've really enjoyed it. The Thunder Mountain one I really enjoyed. This was a really good adaptation. It's about a boy who has this adventure grandfather, and he would always visit with him every now and then, and he passed away, and he had to go into this haunted mansion, and he gets into this area where he can't leave, and that's the whole purpose of the ride, is like the ride pokes fun of you not being able to leave the mansion, and then when you finally do get away, they're like, "Come back, come back." And I remember when we were kids, this was when I was really young, and it was safe, I guess, back then to put your kids' names on the back of your shirts. So I had like Mike, and Pat had his, my brother had his shirt on, and as we were leaving, it scared the crap out of us because the there's this one ghost that's probably, I don't know, 6 inches tall, maybe a little bit bigger, maybe it's 12 inches, and she's towards the end of the ride as you're riding the escalator out, at least it used to be, after you've gone through the hitchhikers, and that ghost would go, "Come back," and it said somebody was in that had some kind of camera because they were like, "Come back, Pat, come back," and it scared the living daylights out of my brother and me, and I don't know who pulled that one, but it was terrifying. Somebody had a laugh out of that though. Black Widow number two. This one I liked a lot more than the first one. Because the first one was just like an adrenaline rush with not a lot of substance, and I like kind of substance with my adrenaline, if that makes any sense. And this one had that, and I enjoyed it. She was going to a funeral, and they were getting attacked. Shield agents were getting attacked, and Black Widow was trying to not reveal herself and take out these imposters or the guys that were trying to attack the Shield agents. It was a good issue. Batman Legends of the Dark Knight 116. I'm gonna skim a lot of these through 117. Azrael, Agent of the Bat 51 through 52. There were 2 issues of that. Detective Comics 730 to 731. Batman 763 to 765. There were 3 issues of that. Shadow of the Bat 83 through 85. Batman No Man's Land number 1, Batman Chronicles number 4, 14, sorry, and Robin 54. Most of these, Shadow of the Bat 75 through 79. We were going to cover No Man's Land on Gotham by Geeks, and I jumped into the Road to No Man's Land. So a lot of these that I was talking about were Road to No Man's Land. And I actually finished that. It was like brilliant. Everything flows so well. Like you read Cataclysm, you read Road to No Man's Land, which is like before they shut it off from the entire world, and then you end up in No Man's Land when they shut it off from the entire world. And all these stories revolve in that, and it's an amazing trade paperback. And I had read it back in the day in single issues. I have all the single issues, but I reread it. As prep for Gotham by Geeks, but Gotham by Geeks is weird. They tell us to read something, and then it's like months later, and it's not fresh in my head, and I kind of lose that passion that instantly hits you as you read it. So by the time we cover it, I've lost it, and that one kept getting pushed down because of interviews and. Because of the relaunch of the Bat books and all kinds of different events that are happening, and I don't have control over it, so I can't say let's cover this now because I don't want to lose my passion. But it's the way it goes. It's not my show. I don't get to control it. So when I think when I'm gonna when I do these like a lot of a run, I might just put them out DC Noise so I could get my feelings out for those books at the time that I read them, rather than the time that we actually record on for Gotham by Geeks. And these episodes help me like chronicle my feelings for books too. I just so behind Black. And then okay, so that was all 4 out of 5. So what you have is most of that stuff towards the top is all Batman, Road to No Man's Land, and starting No Man's Land. And there were 4 out of 5s. And then the 1 5 out of 5 for that particular week was Black Panther. I've heard mixed reviews on this, but Black Panther to me is sort of my favorite, second favorite Marvel character. And I own almost all the volumes of the character. I own all the proper volumes of the character. The ones that I don't own yet and I'm working on are Jungle Action. I still need to complete those. But the Black Panther volume, this is volume 5. So if you remember volume 4, it was his sister had take over the Queen of Wakanda. And then that kind of led to, I think, Doctor Doom conquering Wakanda. And this kind of takes off from Black Panther's been a big part of the Avengers, Illuminati kind of stuff, and now he's in the Ultimates, and so he's been a big player, and he's one of those guys that makes decisions with Tony and all the other superpowers, Reed, and that kind of control the future of the Earth, and he was kind of dark in that Avengers and New Avengers. It was New Avengers that really focused on Black Panther. And this is coming out of it and right near the movie. It had huge sales numbers. The writer is Ta-Nehisi Coates. He's kind of known for a lot of novels and such. And the artist is Brian Stillfries, who's been around for a while. And I think a lot of people were put off maybe by the non-action, but for me, it's perfect because a Black Panther book focuses on Wakanda, it focuses on politics, it focuses on a lot of what make the Black Panther great, being a leader, all that stuff, and I think he did a fabulous job of that. We've had 2 volumes before that. Well, several volumes before that. Like volume 4 was his sister and stuff. It was also Reginald Hudlin and Ken Lashley on volume 4. Volume 3 was Reginald Hudlin, John Romita Jr. And so Reginald Hudlin did a lot. One of the most popular volumes of Black Panther is the Christopher Priest and Joe Quesada stuff with Mark Texeira on art. And that was an amazing, amazing run, and probably the longest run of Black Panther we'll ever see, especially in today's market. It ran 62 issues as a Marvel Knights. If you remember, like Marvel Knights, they launched with Daredevil, the Kevin Smith Daredevil. They launched with Black Panther, which is this Christopher Priest. It was a really successful run, and what I think it led to is it led to the leadership realizing Joe Quesada as somebody they wanted in their in upper management. So they brought the Inhumans back. They had the Punisher. That was probably the least successful because Punisher was dead and came back as an angel. Still interesting in my mind. Inhumans by Paul Jenkins, one of my favorite runs of the Inhumans. It was absolutely amazing. Like Daredevil was awesome. Black Panther was awesome. So many things, great things came out of Marvel Knights. And this was the number one book for me this week. And then going to volume one is Jack Kirby, the man. I mean, how could you go wrong with Jack Kirby? He was created in Fantastic Four, and then this series launched in 1977 and through 1979, and then came back roughly in so nine. It wasn't until 1998 where he came back in his own title. But the one series in between the volume one and volume two is Jungle Action. And Jungle Action is one that I still have a lot to do. And not all of it was Black Panther. It didn't start with Black Panther. It had like Lorna the Jungle Girl and a bunch of other stories. It wasn't until issue 8 of Jungle Action, sorry, issue 7, issue 6. How far does it go when he took over? Issue 5 is when Black Panther took over the book, and he kind of ran with it all the way till issue 24, and the title ran from 1972 to 1976. So this one, I have a lot to work on this. As far as I only have like four issues, and two of them are the Black Panther run. So got quite a bit of ground to make up on that title. I remember having one back in the day, because they were like 20-cent issues. And I'm trying to look at the covers right now to see which one it was. A matter of fact, it's like the most amazing cover. Like it's so iconic. You like want it on a t-shirt, and I think they did make a t-shirt of it. I'm trying to find it, and I'm not finding it. There's a lot of nice covers. See, like number 19, he fights the KKK. 23. Oh, what a awesome cover. I own this comic, and I don't know what happened to it. It was a 30-cent issue, and it's probably during the time that I was getting them off the spinner rack at the drugstore and Alsup's, which was a convenience store, and didn't have a lot of money back then, so man, it was like allowance for mowing the lawn or doing stuff. And I bought this off the shelf, and because we didn't have a lot of money to go to the comic store or go to the drugstore all the time, what we did was trade these comics, and this was one I believe I traded away. Traded so many comics away. So many comics had been through my hands that you'd be amazed at. You're like, why didn't you keep that? It's so weird because when you're a kid and you're folding these up in your pocket, you don't realize you have like Avengers number 2 or Amazing Spider-Man number 5 or Tales of Suspense, the very first Cap. But back then, you were, as a kid, you were like, this story is old. It's not as good as the stuff that's coming off of the racks now. So, I'd read them and I was like, yeah, that's cool, but it's not like the current tone. And you didn't think about like value at that time. It was not really, it was stuff to be traded and read and move on. But this Jungle Action, I really want to get. A matter of fact, I need to order this. But that is and I think it's a reprint too. At least part of it is. It's reprints Daredevil number 69, and I think it is a team up of Daredevil and Black Panther. So let me go look at. I'm going down a rabbit hole real quick. And this issue I do have, I'm pretty sure, because my Daredevil run, I'm about 20 issues away from completing, but that 20 issues is going to cost me about 2 grand because of number one. But it said 69. It doesn't look familiar. Oh, it is a it is the T'Challa Daredevil cover. So yeah, this it is a reprint of that issue, and I do have it. So, but I do want to get Jungle Action, even though some of those are reprints. So that's what number one. So we had the was a Marvel comic beat out everything else that week, and there were only three publishers, but one 5 out of 5 and a lot of 4 out of 5s, and only two titles that went 3 out of 5, so for a total of 40 comic books. Please leave feedback at mike@comicbooknoise.com. Send me emails. You could tweet me at Mike Myers Brunch. The website is geekbrunchpodcast.com. You could leave feedback there. I'll see it and I'll approve it as soon as I upload episodes. Facebook is Geek Brunch Podcast. You could see the Mike M's weekly reads there, Geek Brunch and Geek Brunch Retro. And I think that's all the information. And please leave an iTunes review. Got a few more. Geek Brunch is starting to get more iTunes reviews, even though we've been around forever. We're finally starting to accumulate some. If you get a chance, it would be much appreciated. I got to get off my ass and put us on Stitcher so we're stream live. That will probably give us a few more downloads every month. So that's all. Thanks for listening, and I'll try to do 2 a week. Like, this is gonna be the second episode I release, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks. Bye.